Hello and welcome back to the Living Life Podcast, where we study God's Word for a life that's deeply rooted in love and ready to impact our world for Christ. I'm Samantha Shambo and I'm so happy that you are here. Have you ever been in a relationship where you find it impossible to get through to a person that you are trying to connect with? It might be your teenage child or your spouse or your co-worker. The person refuses to trust your motives no matter how hard you try. They already made up their minds about you. Such relationships normally leave us feeling frustrated and helpless. How do you find a breakthrough in such a situation? If this is a question you are dealing with, then today's topic is for you. We are talking about discernment for 2026. Last week, we discussed how hate clouds discernment. And today, we will continue with this topic by looking at how love can sharpen our discernment. From 1 John 3, verse 1 to 24. Please remember to read the scripture and to use the Bible study work pages. You can find them at my website at samantashambo.com. I also want to ask you to share this episode with a friend or with your small group or just someone who might be going through some relationship struggles. I recently read a chapter by David Brooks on what he calls the epidemic of blindness. According to Brooks, the life situations and the negative experiences people go through can force them to see the world in a particular way. For example, people who have suffered rejection and isolation often respond with mistrust, and getting through to them can feel impossible because they struggle to see beyond the reality that they have constructed in their own minds. Brooks refers to studies by Dennis Prophet that demonstrate how people construct their realities according to what they are capable of at any given moment. One example is that of an unfit person who perceive a mountain as steeper than a fit person, or people carrying heavy backpacks perceive hills as steeper than those who are not carrying a backpack. I found this research so interesting, and I began to think about times in my own life when I was convinced of things that were not really true. One example was my belief as a teenager that I was ugly. And I believe this because I had acne and big teeth and I experienced a lot of rejection from other people. I identified with story characters like the Ugly Duckling and Anne of Green Gables, who accepted that she was not pretty but that she could pretend to be pretty. I carried this belief into early adulthood, even though family members regularly complimented me on my appearance. My perception was rooted in experience, and changing it was not easy. I believe this issue of perception may have been part of the problem in the church that John was addressing. I mentioned last week that the congregation experienced relational rupture because some people left the church and even attempted to persuade others to leave as well. They challenged the believers' faith by questioning the gospel they had received from the apostle and by teaching philosophies that was drawn from the culture around them. These people held tightly to a worldly perspective that made it impossible to get through to them. Yet John still encourages the believers to love one another while they remain firmly rooted in the truth that was found in Jesus Christ. So how do we engage people who are stuck in unhelpful or even harmful perspectives? 1 John 3 shows us that love has the power to bring clarity where there is blindness. Let's look at the scripture. The first guideline to loving hurt people is to have confidence. By this, I don't mean having confidence in your abilities or your knowledge, but confidence in who you are in Christ. Much of our inability to heal hurting relationships is because we feel hurt and defensive ourselves, and this makes it difficult to really see the person in front of us. We cannot hope to help solve the blindness of our loved ones when we ourselves are stumbling around in the darkness. And this is why John starts chapter 3 with the assurance of our identity as the beloved children of God. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Here John reminds us that discernment begins with knowing who we are. When we are secure in God's love, we are less reactive and defensive and more able to see others clearly, even when they are difficult. Confidence in our identity as God's beloved children allows us to respond with patience rather than fear, and with love rather than resentment. In other words, we cannot help heal relational blindness if we ourselves are unsure where we stand. Discernment to love difficult people begins by standing firmly in the light of God's love for us. Next, we must walk the talk. People who are deeply hurt often carry wounds caused by broken trust. Many of them are disappointed by those who were supposed to care for them. Parents, friends, pastors, leaders, even mentors. These people enter their lives with the expectation of safety and reliability, yet their actions betrayed the trust. Over time, this kind of disappointment can erode a person's confidence, not only in others, but even in God. That is why words alone are never enough. When we are hurt, we often struggle to believe what people say, because experience has taught us to be cautious. This means it is especially important to live with integrity if we want to reach loved ones who are struggling. John addresses this directly in 1 John 3 verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Righteousness, as John describes it, is not merely a status we receive because we are Christians. It is a life that we are called to live out consistently. We are declared righteous in Christ, and we remain aligned with that righteousness as we choose to act in ways that reflect Christ's character. For people who are hurt, consistent, selfless behavior becomes a powerful witness. It challenges their deeply formed assumptions and opens space for trust to grow again. We need discernment to have even a remote chance of understanding the worldview of others. And that discernment requires patience and credibility and a life that reflects the truth that we profess. We cannot live in habitual, unrepented sin and selfishness and expect our relationships to bear good fruit. When our lives contradict our words, we become unreliable, especially to those who are already wounded. So John uses the example of Cain and Abel. Cain wanted to worship God, so he brought the best of his produce as an act of worship and sacrifice. However, God questioned his heart and even warned him that sin was crouching at the door and wanted to overtake him. Cain didn't listen. And when God rejected his worship, he became jealous and he killed his brother Abel. This story shows us a strong picture of a mismatch between heart and actions. And John's intention with this example is clear. We can't claim to be followers of Christ while disregarding or harming the people that he loves so dearly. This is what John says in 1 John 3 verse 18. Little children, let us love. Not in word and speech, but in truth and in action. Next, we have to listen to our hearts if we are going to minister to people who are hurting. 1 John 3 verse 19 says, and by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. How do we know we are in the truth? John assures us we can know. We know that we are in the truth of Christ when our hearts do not condemn us, when our hearts are at peace. However, this peace comes after we take time to bring our actions and our lives under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. John actually says that our actions can reveal whether we are from Christ. 1 John 3 verse 10 says, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters. This is heavy words. Sometimes we comfort our hearts by saying we go to church, we give tithes, and we obey the laws. But according to John, there are two ways to know where we stand. First, Are we doing what is right? And second, do we love our brothers and our sisters? John affirms this in 1 John 3, verse 14 to 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or a sister are murderers. And you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. Discernment works on two levels here. We cannot discern how to love and minister to others before we search our own hearts and find peace within ourselves. I love what Watchman Nee says on this matter. Upon your having an impression in the spirit, it needs your mind to interpret and to understand it. Otherwise, you have no way to help others. God's spirit of judgment or discernment in our spirit has two functions. Our spirit becomes usable and we are able to recognize another spirit. Our ability to know the spirit of another person doesn't come from books or from experience or from all the saints, but from our personal dealings with God. Nee says that we can only touch another person's spirit if God has sufficiently dealt with our own spirit. According to Watchman Nee, the more dealings we receive before God, the more discernment we will have. Nee says many times we recognize other people's faults, but we can't help them because our own dealings with God was not sufficient. When we allow the Holy Spirit to judge even the most hidden sins in us, we grow deeply and we receive grace, the grace of discernment to help our brothers and our sisters. Allowing the Holy Spirit to search our hearts can be scary because no one wants to feel condemned. However, John assures us that even when our hearts condemn us, it is okay because God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. 1 John 3 verse 20. This means we can come to God with confidence, not with fear or self-incrimination. Our confidence flows from God's loving and righteous character and from our relationship with Christ. It comes from the assurance that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to lay down His life for us and to forgive us and to cleanse us. And because Jesus laid down His life for us, we can lay down our lives for one another. The fact that God is greater than our hearts and knows everything means that our human feelings and judgment are not the ultimate authority. God's faithful, loyal love is. We can know in our hearts how to love others better. But first, we must open our hearts to the work of the Holy Spirit so that our discernment is not clouded by sins. We learned about the three main sins in John chapter 2 last week: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Loving people is not light work. It is difficult, holy work. And it begins by knowing our own hearts. When we do, we can proceed with confidence. 1 John 3 verse 21 to 22 says, "Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. We receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as He has commanded us." We can approach our Father with freedom and boldness because He loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for our sins so that we can become His children. Like little children who knows that their parents love them, we can come to God without hesitation and bring our prayers and our petitions. We can pray for our hearts to be pure and available to be used by God. We can pray for the people in our lives who need the grace of God. And we can even pray that God would choose to use us to make a difference. Asking for anything does not mean indulging the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or our selfish pride. It means that our lives are so rooted in Him that we only ask according to His will. Just like that, we have come to the end of this episode. If this episode blessed you, please share it as the Holy Spirit leads you. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.